Happy 4th, all. Happy 4th, Steve Kearney. I hope you're doing well today.
Hey, good afternoon. I just laugh when Lindsay does that. Just makes me laugh.
That's great. It is. It brings a smile to my face. Now, were you out on the water early today?
Yes, I was on the water at 5:15 this morning and try to kind of beat the heat and beat the crowds. And I didn't do very well, and I'm not happy about myself, and I don't feel like a Hall of Famer, but I did have a great week. And, you know, a lot of the lakes in my area this week have been really slow, so I've been switching to Becker County, which is about an hour north of me, and just kind of, you know, did a little intel, checking out some lakes up there, and had a great week. I was into the walleyes, into the crappies. It was just wonderful. And I don't get up there that often, and I've been meaning to get up in those areas, Park Rapids, you know, between Detroit Lakes, and I was just so impressed. I was on the fish immediately. Beautiful lakes up there. I was just so impressed, and sometimes you got to do that, you know, when things aren't going in your area, you got a trailer and go hunt. And that's basically what I did. And I found 3-4 lakes up there around Height of Land and areas up there that were just on fire. The minute I got there, it was awesome. And I can't wait to get back there. So I'll be kind of commuting up there with clients, I think, and, you know, staying away from my usual areas down here in Grant County, Otter Tail, and, you know, just go where the action is, and that's where it is right now.
Yeah, and Steve, I haven't talked to you a lot about this over the years, but, you know, you've got your go-tos, but it's probably good for anglers of all type. Try new things, try new bodies of water, check out new stuff, break it up a little bit, a little variety might be a good thing.
Yeah, you know, people have a tendency to fish memories. They go to lakes that they know they've been on before, and sometimes they're just not going. And, you know, just like the lake I was on this morning, it was just, I never had a bite in 2 hours. And you just have to try to make it happen and be proactive. And that's why I went north, you know, to check those lakes out up there. And I'm so happy I did, because now I'm on really good biting fish. And not down here, but up there. And, you know, that's what happens. Water temperatures are 73, 74. They're kind of creeping up a little bit. But we have thunderstorms coming through tonight, which will cool things off a little bit. So I'll be back on the water at 5:15 in the morning again and try to beat the recreational people. But it's just so gratifying to go out and find new lakes and have success. You know, it doesn't always happen that way. You know, sometimes it's maybe one out of four lakes that are really, really good, and you do really well, and you bomb on the other three. But you just try to add these to the little Rolodex in your mind, is what I call it. Lakes that, you know, that you've, you know, fished before, and you've learned them, and you just put it in your back pocket and save it for the future.
Steve Kearney joining us. Steve Kearney Outdoors on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline on this 4th of July. And we'll get another weather update. There's some warnings just north of the cities and some warnings to the west, severe thunderstorm warnings. No tornado warnings. There was one earlier west of the St. Cloud area, but we'll have an update on that very shortly. Steve, another thing I wanted to bring up today, and that is gear. If you're in the market for a new rod or particularly a spinning reel today, is it always you get what you pay for when it comes to that stuff?
You know, Steve, spinning reels, I've just been so disappointed over the years with the modern spinning spinning. It just, they're just, the quality is not there. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, we had Mitchell 300s, which were all metal and steel and built really well. Everything now is polymer and plastic, and I really can't recommend a reel that I really like. And I've used probably 15 different brands over the years. They just don't last. And I tell people, if you're going to go buy a reel, don't spend any more than $60, $65. That's all you need. You start getting up in $150, $200. Honest to goodness, they're basically the same thing. And they all have generic problems. And that's what I find. There's certain brands that the line gets caught behind the spool, and it's just chronic. And other times these reels, the drag wears out and they're loose, and you tighten them and they're loose in 15 minutes. I'm just really disappointed. They're made overseas. That's kind of the big issue. They're made on the cheap and they're just not made for the long term. And as you know, we have a disposable society. So everything is made cheaper overseas. And when they break, you throw it away and you get another one. You can't get it fixed. And there's not a lot of longevity. So, you know, I'm just a little disappointed. I try to get at least one season out of a particular reel. And sometimes I can't even do that. And granted, I use them a lot, almost every day. But I'm just not that impressed. I hate to say that, but that's just kind of the state of, you know, of spinning reels nowadays.
Well, Steve, are you going to be out and about tomorrow? What are the plans for the coming week?
Yeah, just get out early and, you know, try to let the storms come through. And most everything, you know, has been happening late in the afternoon, like today. But the mornings have been really nice, and we don't have a lot of wind. So that's really nice to have a few days without wind. So it's looking good. I just don't want to see any 90s, and it doesn't look like we're going to get that. So I think we're fine weather-wise, but we are into July, which, you know, can be tough on certain lakes. But, heck, we go anyway. Right, Steve?
Yeah, for sure. And it's amazing how it's flying by. You know, we're kind of talking about it. You get to the 4th of July, and, wow, you're like, okay, I got a finite number of days between now and Labor Day, and got a lot of stuff to do. So have a safe and a happy 4th, Steve.
Hey, you too, Steve. Say hi to your family. Take care.
There he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors has been joining us for years. A little bit later today, we had a long ball game in New York. The Twins pound the Yankees 11-4. And I misheard on the post game download the attendance. But when I caught portions of the game on television and caught a huge chunk of it on the radio, of course, there wasn't a big crowd because it was a hot day. Now, the Yankees average 40-plus, and you would assume with season tickets and commitments, there was, and they listed it in the box score at 41.56, not 14. Here's the thing. There's no way there were 40,000 people at Yankee Stadium today, but can you blame them? And the World Cup continues right now. Paraguay and France, they're in the 49th minute, scoreless in Philly, and it is blazing hot there. Oh, the folks sitting in the sun. No thanks. Let's get a quick update on the weather. Then we'll break. Heather Rule is going to join us. We'll talk Wild. Is there going to be some late fireworks on the 4th of July again? Will Dylan Larkin join the club? We'll get into that in a bit. But we do have a new warning, and this is St. Cloud. And a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 5:30 for central Stearns County. And it was located 6 miles south of Albany or 21 miles west of St. Cloud, moving southeast at 15 miles an hour. So these are moving really slow. A lot of times severe thunderstorms move along at 35, 40, 45, even 50 miles an hour. But these are crawling along. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, half-dollar-size hail with this storm right in the St. Cloud area, 6 miles south of Albany. And that includes Albany, Farming, St. Martin, Avon, and Roscoe. And, of course, Collegeville, St. Joseph, in the path of this storm. So keep an eye on that. There are some warnings well north of the cities up in the Hinckley area. And then, of course, had severe thunderstorm warning west of St. Cloud as well in the New London area. Here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul still quiet, but there is a threat of thunderstorms as we move through the evening hours for sure. So we'll try and keep you up to date here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Oh, Lindsay, always great.
Brilliant.
Yeah, really good. Les Blues, nil-nil, 54th minute. In sweltering Philadelphia. Now, Lindsay, I want to run this by you real quick. We'll bring in Heather Rule. any way you're sitting in the sun in Philly for this World Cup match.
0.000. You know how I feel about Philadelphia, A, right?
Yeah.
B, you know that city is stinking today. No chance, not even if I was paid to be there, because they wouldn't do the press like that. Or maybe they will. It's FIFA.
Well, here's the thing. It's one thing hot and humid in the cities. In the really big cities like Chicago or New York or, you know, L.A., when it gets really hot, it's a different vibe. I mean, people in particularly in New York can be surly. Can you imagine? Or in Philly? When it's hot and humid like this, oh my. Heather Rule joins us, local sports journalist, covers the Wild and will cover the Wild for NHL.com. She covers the Frost and is a regular contributor on this program, and we're grateful for that. Heather, you've made it into the studio. That is tremendous on this for it. Thank you.
Yes, first time in the studio. I was down at the Taste of Minnesota just a few blocks away, and I figured, you know, why call in when I can just walk down the street, basically, and come say hi and be in studio. So
now, is the air working in studio? Because I'm not. You are there. Lindsay are there. I mean, this is a peek behind the curtain a little bit. Number one, is the air functioning?
Yes, it feels very, very nice in here. I tried to find some shady spots outside, but yeah, it's definitely summer. You know, I had my sunscreen on and everything, so yeah.
There you go.
Felt
prepared.
Great. Yes,
that's right.
Course.
Sunscreen, kids.
Yes,
important.
I've got my hat on. Yes, yeah.
Now, give us a quick update on Taste of Minnesota. What was that like? What was going on? What was the vibe there?
Yeah, it was fun. I've been to it the past couple years now. It seemed a little smaller this year. I'm not sure. Like, they had a couple different blocks that weren't open. I remember last year they had different vendors and food vendors. So I grabbed a couple of things. I liked the vendors that had an actual taste on their menu. So something, a smaller portion. Like, I got a taste of cheese curds, so a little smaller basket, just enough so it doesn't fill you up and then you can't go get other food from other vendors. So I liked that. I didn't see that everywhere, but yeah, just a ton of food trucks and obviously live music going on too. So yeah, just a nice summer festival is what it's all about, Minnesota, right?
Well, and I don't know about you, but cheese curds are great, but I don't need a pail.
I agree.
You know,
yes.
Four
yeah, it was,
or five,
it was the perfect size. Definitely. Yep. Just a taste.
Yeah, because at the food building at the State Fair, they literally load up a pail for you. And it's like, no, I don't know how many people I would need to share that with. I'd probably stand out the door and say, cheese curds, anybody? Cheese curds?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever got at the State Fair. I don't think we've ever gotten the pail. I usually share with my dad.
Yeah.
Loves cheese curds too, and we share a basket there too. And the pail is just too much. That's, you know, unless that's all you want to eat for the day. But again, I'm a big, you know, let's have some smaller portions that way you can have more variety when you're there.
Yeah, it's just like I just want to taste the burger. I don't need a Whopper, if you will.
Yes.
That's cool. Now I was going to run something by both of you. And this has to do with Wild, and everybody who's followed the Wild at all knows that on this date in 2012, now think about that, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter both agreed to come here on those blockbuster 13-year deals, and by the end of those deals, people were bored with it and wanted to move on, and Ryan Suter kind of became one of those guys, when can he leave, and so on and so forth. But at the time, I think about it, when I heard that news, I was absolutely blown away that they landed both.
Yes, definitely. That was a where were you kind of moment
right.
In Minnesota. I was telling Lindsay earlier, I said I had a couple photos that come up in my social media memories, and I was working down in Austin, Minnesota as a news reporter at the Austin Post Bulletin down there, and they have a 4th of July parade. We walked in that. And then I had some family there, too, and it was a very hot summer day like this one, and we all went to one of the local bars and had lunch and drinks. And I think I'd gotten a text or something, because this was We were talking this before, real smartphones and Twitter.
Twitter
and
was a thing,
all that.
But you did it from your computer.
Yeah, or you had to like text like the 5-digit number to send out a tweet or something. It was not not like it is today. So I remember getting a text, I think, from someone about the deal, and I was kind of floored too. I remember that. Like, wait, what? They got who? Those guys? And it was a similar feeling to what I would say with when they got Quinn Hughes this past season. Just sort of a where were they or where were you when that happened kind of thing with Quinn Hughes and Parisi Suter. So,
well, let's not forget, Steve, those contracts were hella illegal. Like, the league had to really start to clamp down. They're like, that's it. We've had enough of Ilya Kovalchuk and all those shenanigans he's doing with the New Jersey Devils and that precedent. But it was 12 years, right? I forget what the total dollar amount was. But just for context, Zach Parise was coming off of a Stanley Cup final run in which he lost to the Los Angeles Kings. There was no bigger fan of Jonathan Quick than me at that point in time, Steve and Heather. There was no bigger fan. And then Ryan Suter was kind of the odd man out in Nashville because they had Shea Weber. He was kind of the big defenseman. They came up at around the same time. I forget when he got offer sheeted. That his contract just ended a couple years ago. I'm stupid hockey facts that don't matter right now. But Steve, I sacrificed a prime 4th of July to sit in my car and listen to KFan to break down this trade for at least 2 or 3 hours. Like, I was in college and we were partying with one of my high school friends' college teammates. I'm talking like big house on Tonka. There's no house number on the outside. And I'm like, guys, save the blow up orca for later. I need to get the deets. I need to get the deets. And I remember it was a hot day. It was probably the most hopeful day in Minnesota Wild history at that point.
It was a huge deal. I mean,
a huge deal.
At the time for the way the franchise was going too. I mean, it was almost like a franchise saving
because they didn't make playoffs in a long time.
Yeah, it was. Things were not great.
Todd Richards the coach? Was that what?
And here's the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up. Things weren't going well, and I remember, and I knew someone that had 4 season tickets to the Wild leading up to that. And they had heard from other season ticket holders and other sponsors of the club that they were like, I'm not so sure if I'm hanging in here and spending the big bucks at the time to go to the Xcel Energy Center. And it's a commitment. You know, you're buying 41 games and, you know, times 4 and parking and food and beverage, et cetera. And that was what led Craig Leopold, in retrospect, is it was kind of a bit of panic that I'm going to write the big checks and make this commitment and risk the ire of my fellow owners. And I think he felt it, you know, to bring these guys in because it was, as much as anything, a huge business decision to kind of right the ship and get people on board to buy tickets and sponsorships and suites and et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and it's a very, I remember at the time just talking, obviously, everyone wants to win the Stanley Cup, right? That is the ultimate goal of everyone. I think it's gotten talked so much, you know, Leopold and Bill Guerin, you know, what he's done the past few years and kind of this win now mentality and bringing in Quinn Hughes. And, you know, they really want to accomplish that. I think at the time that was something Leopold had talked about, too. Like, hey, we're bringing in these guys and let's win a Stanley Cup. But, you know, for sure, if nothing else, it turned things around a little bit. And obviously, the getting to the playoffs, and you know, we all know how it turned out for those guys with the team. But you know, at like we said at the time, that was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, and the only thing I remember at that time, and it's like, wow, they made a huge splash. This is unbelievable. The length of contract, Lindsay, as you talked about, the term, the dollars committed, etc. But when the dust really settled, even at the time, did you consider the two, either of those two? Now, the sum of the parts, it was a big deal and added a lot to the club. But neither of them felt like me at the superstar level of the NHL. They were very good players, but not superstar, not the upside like a Quinn Hughes. I mean, this guy is clearly a bona fide NHL superstar. You ask anybody and it's like, oh yeah, I mean, he is a top 5 guy in this league.
It's just like such a different hockey world then, and such a different style of game that was being played. Because I'm trying to think of what an equivalent would be today of those twin signings. Because if you were to say, like, just to keep it on roster, Matt Boldy, I think Matt Boldy has probably been a lot flashier than Zach Parise ever was. And I'm not saying Zach Parise wasn't a skilled guy, but we all know he made his money by getting chopped in the back his whole entire career. Sure.
Took all those cross checks that were never called.
And Suter was a minute muncher. And so there's just, the league is in such a different place. And I'm just looking at the roster, like the 2012-2013 Minnesota Wild roster on hockeyreference.com, because they took down Cap Friendly and the NHL hates its fan base. But there's like Pierre-Marc Bouchard was still on that team.
Oh, yeah.
Brodin, a young Jonas Brodin was on that team. Cal Clutterbuck, who I still think is playing for the Islanders, was on that team. The man that's going to bring the Minnesota Gophers back to the promised land through his skills development, Matt Cullen, was on that team. Granlund, like, they were kind of meant to usher in that Charlie Coyle, Jason Zucker, Mikhail Granlund, you know, to help the kids along a little bit. But then the locker room split, and Jason Pominville wasn't having a good time.
Oh, man. These are some,
Stefan Vaillant.
Some of the throwback names.
Oh,
here.
My goodness. Yes. This is 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Time flies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're kind of in a moment now where the Wild, and it probably won't go down today, but there continues to be steam around the Dylan Larkin rumors that he wanted out in Detroit and at the Wild. But you brought up Matt Boldy, Lindsay, a moment ago. Heather, what are your thoughts on this? I can't imagine the Wild would consider giving up Boldy to land Larkin. That just seems foolish, considering what Boldy was able to deliver.
Yes, I would agree. I was saying earlier, I'm like, I don't care what, because we were saying, well, you don't trade Boldy for Larkin straight up, just those two. But then I said, too, well, even if there's a package, like even, you know, you have, okay, Boldy and Yurov or some picks or whatever, you know, you kind of package Boldy with other players. I'm like, no, I still don't do it. I think you need to keep Boldy here, and especially after this past season that he had, he finally really kind of came into his own, put it all together. He, you know, had a great Olympics, obviously, too, and scored that huge goal in their gold medal game.
First gold game.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he was producing in the playoffs until the last round.
Right.
But we can't expect too much too soon. He can't be Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah. Okay. We can just talk about the first round, how great that was, and how, you know, they took a step this year, as Bulgarian likes to always say. You know, we took a step, important step. Obviously, it's not, you know, where they want to be still ultimately. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, what's going to go down there. But I just don't see how you can send Boldy out and to bring Larkin in. I don't see that happening. And one of the other things Garrett has talked about this week too is how, you know, with these moves that they have made and the trades and everything, and just, you know, that they've had a good team. They're a good team. They've been a good team. They're still a good team with the players that they have and the guys they brought in now. And I just think if you remove Boldy, that's a huge piece of it. It'd be like trading Wallstedt too, which I, you know, they can still do, but I just don't think they should do that either. So, yeah, I don't know. It could be really interesting because it seems like Detroit's GM is a little bit, you know, playing hardball.
Stevie Y playing hardball. He's only like 3 years past his expected turnaround of that franchise. Because remember, Steve, he was running the Tampa Bay Lightning for a really long time, and he's the one that kind of set them up for success through their cup winning years. And they were sniffing at the title a little bit, and they had to add some pieces earlier in his tenure. But it's going to take a lot. There's a lot of untouchables on this team. And I know that this is the Minnesota Wild need a first line center like the Minnesota Vikings need a good offensive line. Like, this is a long held deficiency this roster has had.
Yes.
And so hopefully they don't get too excited or put too much into that package just to satisfy that need, that historical need. Because I think this team could probably find somebody else besides Dylan Larkin, too. Like, I don't think he's going to be the piece that really fixes everything. This is a very new NHL. Look at what happened to Leo Carlson.
That's
see that
true.
Contract,
yes.
Steve? Did you see that Philadelphia offer sheeted one of the young stars in Anaheim? You don't offer sheet people in today's NHL.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it too. I still think, and before we run out of time here, and we got to get a weather update in, is this. I know Dylan Larkin and adding, but you got to get something done with Quinn Hughes, in my opinion, this summer, and lock him in for a period of time because they give up a ton to get him. You can't run the risk that he could leave.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's something that hopefully is kind of on the front burner now. Yeah. That was something Guerin kind of alluded to with his comments this week, that, okay, that, you know, they had the draft, you had free agency, they made a few depth signings, and the trade with Calgary, I think Zuccarello was the biggest surprise there this week that he's not coming back, but
for sure,
a few pieces there were moving, and I think now the focus turns to, okay, getting the Quinn Hughes deal done, and also, again, if there's any kind of trade for Dylan Larkin or anyone else to fill kind of that center role. But one of the interesting things Guerin did say too about the Zuccarello piece was he kind of took some responsibility for that and said, I didn't reach out early enough to Zuccarello after the season, and that was on him, Guerin said. And so it was surprising, I think, to a lot of us that Zuccarello is not going to be back for next season. But, hopefully that's a piece that Guerin, hey, I didn't reach out to Zuccarello, but now let's talk to Quinn Hughes and make sure we get this done. Because I think you're right. Those are kind of the two big priorities that we're focusing on now, like Quinn Hughes, and is there another kind of blockbuster trade or signing that they're going to get done here this summer?
Well, and, when that came to light, Heather, and I'm glad you brought that up, that he was able to admit that, Matt Zuccarello ending up with the Kings is a little bit on me for not communicating. That's a bit of an eye-opener.
Yeah, I was, a little surprised to hear that. At the same time, I appreciated, his candidness. And
for sure.
He's usually a pretty straight shooter with us. So, I was kind of surprised at how this all went down, because I think we all just assumed it was a no-brainer. It was interesting.
Kind of an important guy.
Yeah, right? And they brought back Nick Foligno to a one-year deal, which I think that was more about, is Nick Foligno going to retire? Or if he is going to play, one more year, why not stay here with your brother? And Guerin did call that a no-brainer signing, which I thought was interesting, because it certainly was if he's going to play again. But yeah, I think there was a consensus that, well, bringing Zuccarello back is a no-brainer. And especially we saw how Kaprizov kind of fared without him in the small sample size of some of those playoff games where Zuccarello was out injured. So I think this is a definite shift now, and we'll see. It'll be really interesting to see Kaprizov kind of, as I put it, share his toys with some other kids now in the sandbox, and he's not going to have Zuccarello. But I think ultimately that can be a really good thing too. And he's obviously coming into that big new contract, and he's got the skill set on his own to be a scorer and a playmaker, which he's shown.
Well, Heather, always good to visit with you on the show. Thanks for the time. Thanks for stopping by the studio. Have a happy and safe 4th of July. Lindsey Brown is here. I'm Steve Thompson. Quick update. We'll come back, get an update on the weather. We do have some warnings on the board, north and northwest of the cities. We'll do that. We'll squeeze in Read and React and call it a day here on this 4th News Talk 830 WCCO. Nobody wants to fill out paperwork on the 4th of July. I certainly don't. Lindsay, how about you?
Hard pass.
Yeah. No paperwork. And it was great, Heather, once again, stopping by the studio today. Very cool. Good to visit with her on this 4th. And it's kind of becoming a tradition to talk hockey on the 4th of July. You know it's the state of hockey when you do a deep dive on the NHL and the home team on the 4th. That's good stuff.
Good memories.
Yeah.
Old and new.
It's hard to believe it's been that long. Where does time go? Where is summer going? It's crazy.
Yeah, it just is all downhill from here when it comes to summertime. I feel like it's the 4th of July, and then like 2 seconds later, it's Labor Day. So soak it up, people.
Well, yeah, and it's going to be the endless talk about see you at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up rapidly. Now, before we get into Read and React, I've got to run this by you. So by the 4th of July, the rest of your summer is booked, right? I mean, you got no elbow room to do anything on a weekend.
Well, yeah, I got dates with you and Shaletta pretty much every Saturday.
Right, but I mean, as far as like stuff on Sunday and the calendar gets clogged. It's like I don't have any room. It's booked.
Yeah, this summer I just haven't. We were able to go to the Boundary Waters last summer in June, and that's probably not going to work out. We're going to try to go camping at some point, probably more in like the August September days. So I'm sure it'll be nice and cool then, like it normally is, even though everything seems to be shifting later. But yeah, it's just there's a lot of work going on. This is my busy season, so Sundays are kind of for reset and rest, and that's
laundry.
Okay. And laundry, it never ends, Steve.
Laundry
never ends.
Well, and that's kind of like I pick up my Target order, and the three of us, my wife, my daughter that's still at home, we all do separate Target orders, and we, we pick them up, and then it's kind of grocery put away, laundry day, Sunday.
Yeah, you gotta have a reset. It's life's too crazy.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. You know, sometimes we'll visit other retailers. A Lunds and Byerly's, Hy-Vee, Cub.
Ooh, fancy.
We hit them all. All right, let's get to read and react. I know time is tight. It's flying by. We'll do another lightning round today. And here, real simple on read and react. I get three. She gets three. We have no idea what we're going to ask each other. And Lindsay, do you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. I can go all first. Right. You are given $15 and set free to fend for yourself in a gas station. What do you do?
$15.
Yep.
I think you and I are on the same page. There's got to be like a 2-for-4 Diet Coke, maybe 2-for-5 these days. So there's no doubt $5 is going to Diet Coke. Chips of some sort, particularly plain old Ruffles. And then if I'm fending, and it depends on how long I'm trying to buy provisions, some sort of meat stick or cheese.
Got to get the meat stick in there.
Yeah, you got to get some protein.
Some compressed meat,
you can't please. You can't survive strictly on Diet Coke and chips.
You could try.
and you know what? Depending on my mood, maybe one of those Hostess fruit pies.
Ooh.
Apple or cherry are fine.
Ooh, backdoor with the Hostess. I love that.
And if I'm in a quick trip, it'll be the Boston cream pie in the little box.
I didn't want to say it was that quick trip, but in my mind, it was that quick trip.
It could just be any random. Yeah, fair enough. It always comes around a quick trip. All right, number one to you. We had the story in the news. It is a 4th of July tradition that Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut consumes 66. Mikey?
Unsure.
A pseudo. I'll go with Mikey pseudo. She downed 38.75 hot dogs for her record 12th victory. And of course, Chestnut won his 18th title. So they're scarfing down hot dogs. Is this sport or is it just gross?
I mean, it's certainly grotesque, and that's really that. There's a lot of sports that fit that bill, and so I think if we're going off of that definition alone, it absolutely counts. I remember getting to know Joey Chestnut through MTV True Life about 15 years ago. There was a "I'm a Competitive Eater" episode. Yeah. And just like the prep work and what these people do to prepare their bodies to be able to intake that level of food and, of course, keep it down is amazing. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone, especially the hot dog eating contest. I love hot dogs, but the fact that they have to dip the buns in the water is a hard no for me. It would be an instant right back up the chute
I
can't
for sure.
Stand it. No ketchup, nothing.
Yeah, so Chestnut and pseudo. It's just nuts. I don't know. It is definitely grotesque. But my daughter said the same thing, and I ran this by her and said, should I ask Lindsay this earlier today or later today? And she said, yeah. And we got into that conversation, and she said, yeah. You know, these people do train for this. You know,
Oh, yeah.
That isn't easy.
They eat a lot of lettuce beforehand because apparently lettuce stretches out the stomach, but maybe there's new data on it. Remember, this is like the aughts, and so we're dealing with a lot different performance-enhancing methods at that point.
So there's competitive eating metrics and training methods.
There has to be at this point, right? Because there's got to be gambling money in it, so now we need to make it as high stakes as possible.
Yeah, the prop bets on competitive eating. And we've got to do a deeper dive on prop bets on a future show. That's for sure. I have strong feelings about that. All right, number two to you.
Number two, what is a piece of dad advice you would give to someone with a two-year-old? Oh, boy.
Savor every minute of it is my advice. And I still get a chance to travel with my kids to visit their grandparents in South Dakota and hang out. They grow up so fast, whether they're infants or 2 years old or whatever, and just savor it, even when they're being a pain. That is my advice. It flies by. And I'm kind of tearing up thinking about it.
You know, I've had a lot of really important babies in my life that are now full-blown human beings. And now that I have a little nephew, I learned, you know, the little toddler grunts when they breathe?
Yeah.
I just, when those are gone, it makes me sad. But they're very cute. So I still toddler grunts.
And they change so quickly. When I would go on the road and do games or whatever, and even be gone for a few days, especially when they're really young like that, you notice changes. It's like, oh, that's new.
Yup.
So savor it.
You have 200 more words in your vocabulary from last week. What's going on?
Yeah.
Brain pathways, people. Brains.
Number two to you. What road trip out of the cities have you made the most in your life? Ooh. You know, where you literally get in a car and go somewhere to visit a family member, visit friends. What is the most common road trip you've made out of the city?
It has to start in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, or wherever.
I was going to say, there was a pilgrimage I would make when I was living in Las Vegas to an art village just outside of St. George, Utah. So it was about 90 minutes each way, and I would make a whole day of it. I discovered it because one of the art installations is a labyrinth, and apparently it's kind of like geotagging. You can find all these labyrinths. People have kept track, and I remember there was a Halsey album, labyrinths were part of it, and I just found it, and I made that trip at least 10 times. And I also smushed it together because there was no Culver's in Las Vegas. There was some sort of turf war with In-N-Out Burger. I'm not joking, Steve.
Yeah.
I would either have to drive to Bullhead City, Arizona, or to St. George, Utah to get Culver's. So I would go, I would hit up Culver's, I'd eat it, I'd go to the art village, I'd do my little woohoo thing, I'd buy some stuff at the gift shops that were there, and I'd drive back, and I would take like the back roads through the highways, through a reservation and everything. It was just gorgeous, gorgeous driving. And it was one of my favorite things to do when I was living out there. I wish I still had access to it.
Very cool. By the way, Les Bleus, France, leading Paraguay 1-0. They approach, or they're now in the 88th minute there. Quick break. We'll come back. Put a bow on Read and React. Put a bow on the show in a moment. We've got number three, question number three on the way in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Happy 4th of July from all of us here at News Talk 830-WCCO. Congrats. One of the really good human beings ever work at CCO, Steve Simpson, on his retirement. He hung up the headphones, so to speak, so congrats to him. Hey, a quick weather update. Flash flood warning now. South Central Benton County, Northwestern Sherburne County, Eastern Stearns County until 7. Slow-moving thunderstorms. Now, this particular storm had produced a tornado warning west of St. Cloud and severe thunderstorm warnings. Now it's a flash flood warning. And moments ago, Doppler radar indicated a thunderstorm producing heavy rain across the warned area. And this includes St. Cloud, Sauk Rapids, and Waite Park. And it continues to crawl along. This storm's been moving along at like 5 miles an hour. So St. Cloud area, torrential rains, and a flash flood warning. All right, let's return to Read and React before we run out of time here on the program today. Lindsay, number three to you.
Number three. Just got to pull up my sheet here. Here it is. What or about what or where are you most delusional?
When I get done doing play-by-play, high school football, volleyball, boys or girls hockey, boys or girls basketball, and say, I think I really did a good job. This is going to lead to something. That's when I'm most delusional.
That's amazing.
You know that.
I love that.
And then I need to come back to real life and go, no, this is pretty much it. Just enjoy it for what it is. And I do, and I love it. But at some point I'd say, that was really a solid call. Maybe somebody heard that and will give this old guy an opportunity. Ding, 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 wrong answer.
Ugh.
So, yeah, that's when I'm most delusional.
Well, I know that you get that feeling a lot because you do an excellent job.
Oh, no, thanks.
So, like, I'm sure it happens all the time.
I wasn't fishing.
I'm not. I know you're not fishing, but I'm still going to give it to you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's very nice. All right, number three to you.
Yeah.
Did you ever fail a class in your academic career?
Ooh, no, but I brushed with it when I had a concussion 1 year. It was
grades
got frozen, but that's a story for a different day.
So you didn't fail. That's
no,
good.
No failure.
A-plus today, Lindsay. Happy 4th. Have a safe and happy 4th. And keep an eye on the weather tonight, folks, here on News Talk 830 WCCO.